I am sure thankful. Think about the song that was just sung. You know, we come to places where we realize, I got to get to Jesus. Need some help. Before I get started this morning, I want to tell the Lord and you thanks for your prayers for Sister Maxine. And I'd like to tell you just a little bit. You know, there's some times come in our life, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. I want to tell you, there's things about today I don't understand. But I tell you, there's something that we know he can hold our hand. You know, Sister Maxine does not know what tomorrow holds for her. But you know what, really? Every one of us don't either. We can look at some things that look maybe kind of dismal to us through our natural eyes. what the future could hold. But you know what? None of us know what the future holds. It's safe for us to put ourselves in the Lord's hands. And I watched the Lord answer prayers for her that I'll never question a miracle. We're living in the days of miracles. When she was in the hospital and told them, I just want to go back home again, that's not what they expect to hear. And she was having so much pain before she was sent home that just for the nurses to come in and move her, she could not help but cry out with pain. And I thought, how would you ever take her from this bed to her home? You're going to have to push her down the halls, and you're headed the wrong direction to take her out. And people are going to question, well, what is the matter? You know, usually you are better when you leave. And so with all those things, she said, I have a prayer request. I'd like for you to pray for me. I would appreciate it if the Lord would help me to be able to quietly leave here. And I said, we'll pray for that. But I told her, I said, and I hope it wasn't that my faith wouldn't take it in, but I told her, I said, you know what? That's what we would like. But should it not be? Should you have pain to where you're crying out, commit it to God. Those things are in God's hands. I was at work when they came and got her and took her. But she told me, she said, you know what, when they picked, before they could not even hardly move her without pain, her hollering out. But when they came to pick her up and put her on the stretcher to take her out, she said she had no pain. They moved her out of there quietly, put her in the ambulance to take her home, no pain. And said when they put her in her bed there at home, no pain. Folks, it's safe for us to trust God. We're on a journey. We're headed to eternity. And when we ask the Lord, send into my path what is needed for me to make heaven, we really don't know what we're saying. But we trust God. Because sometimes he sends things into our path, not just for us, but for others also. And I have received challenge. You know, we hear messages about consecration, and it is so easy for me to sing that song, I give my all to you. I can even raise my hand singing it. I just feel that way. But then the battle comes sometimes, and we still want to be able to have that same determination in our heart. So I desire your prayers this morning for something that really I think this message is for me, but I'd like to share it with you. You know, Jesus, when he was talking to Peter, he said, I'm going to give you some keys to the kingdom. And there are keys for us today that I believe will help us to be able to make it to heaven and be able to help us in this journey here. You know, sometimes I would be at work maybe, and there's a door that I need to get into. You know, somebody can hand you a ring of keys, got a bunch of keys on there, and they say, one of these will open it. You can spend a lot of time going through them, trying to figure out which one it is. You know, in the Bible, there are some keys for us, and I'd like to share some of those with you today because they are also a challenge to me. We sing a song, number 169, Prayer is a Key. It says, prayer is a key on the bending knee to open the morn's first hours. See the incense rise to the starry skies like perfume from the flowers. It's a key that opens up a door for our day. It says, take the golden key in your hand and see as the night tide drifts away, how its blessed hold is a crown of gold through the weary hours of day. Then it says, soon the year's dark door will be shut no more. You know, there's coming a time when prayer will no longer be needed. It won't be on this side, it'll be on the other side. It says, soon the year's dark door will be shut no more, life's tears shall be wiped away. You know that song that we sing, Sweet Hour of Prayer? A time when that prayer key will no longer be needed. It said it this way, this robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while traveling through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. You know, there's coming a time when we will need to ask God for nothing. We will be right there with him. It's a consolation. There's another song that I saw this morning. Walking and talking with Christ, the Supernal One, won't it be wonderful there? Praising, adoring the matchless Supernal One, won't it be wonderful there? Prayer is our key for today. You know, Jesus tells us we need to pray without ceasing. We have a lot of instruction given in the Bible for us to use that key today. There's some more keys that I'd like to share with us. Over in 2 Corinthians 10 and 4, there's some weapons that are valuable for us. It says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Thought about the story of Christian in Pilgrim's Progress. He got locked up in a doubting castle. And remember when reading that, it says he was beaten daily by a giant despair. You know, that just seemed like a book a long time ago. But you know what? That can happen in our lives today. We can hit some dark places where the devil would make us forget about the key we have. You know, that went on several days with him. But one day he realized, wait a minute, I got a key here in my pocket, and it fit the door. What was that key? The key of promise. Sister Maxine has told us recently, and I saw it myself, somewhere maybe 8,000 promises in the Bible. All of them can be a key to get us out of some kind of a situation. I was thinking of one of the promises in Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You know what? That verse is just as powerful today as it ever has been. It's one of the keys we can use, a key of promise for us. We sing a song sometimes that says, be not dismayed, whatever betide. God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. You know, we sometimes need that to be repeated over and over in our mind. No matter what happens to me, to those around me, God will take care of us. Through every day or all the way, he will take care of you. But what I have for today is another key that I'd like for us to look at. There's a key of praise. It is very valuable for us today. There's a song that we sing about the key for prayer. It says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. All because I didn't use the key that was given to me. And as I thought about praise, I wonder if the same verse could not be used for that. what doors praise can open and what happens to me when I don't open them. You know, thanks is for what God's done for me. Praise is for who He is. And you know, many times thanks should cause praise to be started in me. I'm thinking of a verse over in Psalms 34 and 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. You know, all times covers the good and the bad. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You remember where John told about Jesus? He must increase, I must decrease. What does that have to do with praise? There are things that can cause, you know, God put within us the ability to think, to process information, and to come up with conclusions about how I think things need to be. But you know what? If I'm not careful, I can become elevated in what I think things ought to be. Yes. And then I lose some of the trust that I need to have just in God's wisdom in all things. And there are some things that would like to remind me of who I am and who God is. One of those is over in Psalms in the 8th chapter. In Psalms 8, in the 3rd verse, you know, we should be able to look at nature around us and it calls us to see how great God is compared to who I am and be able to trust His wisdom more than how I see it to be processed. This says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that you're mindful of him? You know, I'm thankful that God is mindful of man, but I need to always remember who I am and who God is. You know, God is able to see the future. He's all-knowing. He's ever-present. And I need to do just what was being said about Jesus. I need to decrease in my own estimation of my thoughts about things, and He needs to increase. I had something at work that gave me a life lesson, and I brought it with me today. It's just a small little relay. We have about 1,000 of them on our air conditioning systems at work. It's called a reversing relay. It works off of air pressure. It has a 20-pound main that you put in this port. That means that the output can give that same amount, but you have an input. That input is going to decide whether you give out the 20 pounds or whether you give out zero. It reverses the signal. What does that have to do with us? I am responsible for the input. You remember the song that said, all of self and none of thee. It does just what this relay does in my spiritual walk with God. All of self gives very little input. You know, we all have the capability of praising God from the heart. I'm not talking about a place that says, on this Wednesday night, we will have a praise service. You know, the scripture says, these people draw nigh to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's not the kind of praise that He is looking for. What He's looking for is what comes from my heart. So you remember that song that said, all of self and none of thee. You know, whenever my estimation of my own thinking is up there, praise decreases. The real kind of praise from the heart. But you know, that song didn't end with that. It went on to another verse. Got some of self and some of thee. You know, you can take this reverse and relay and you can put in 8 pounds on the input, and you'll get some out. You won't get 20. But you know, there's still one more verse that said, none of self and all of thee. Whenever you put on this zero on the input, you get 20 pounds on the output. There is an example of this that I'd like for us to look at. Because you know what, we each one, when you graduate from school, you go to the graduation ceremony, and you hear them try to boost the young people. You can be whatever you want to be. And I understand that, because a lot of times when you get out of high school, you're kind of struggling of what you're going to do. I understand that. But you know, something else you want to realize is, without me, you can do nothing. For young or old alike, what I can do needs to come through God. I control the input of whether true praise will come out. In an example, over in Daniel, is a king. You know, a lot of times kings have a pretty good opinion of who they are. At least this one did. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, didn't understand what the dream was, and so Daniel was called in. And Daniel, when he explained the dream, he let him know, there's an humbling coming to you. Here's what is going to happen. But you remember, even with that, Daniel told him, if you'll break off iniquity, maybe this thing could be changed. But it goes on down, and it says in 4 and 29, you know, I believe Nebuchadnezzar had an opportunity to make a change. But in thinking about this relay, let's think about Nebuchadnezzar. Had a zero input of who God was. It says in the 29th verse of Daniel 4, at the end of 12 months he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. He spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and the honor of my majesty? You know, his opinion of himself was very great at that time. You know, I don't have that problem. But you know what? I can look at situations and I have an opinion. I have an opinion of what I would like God to do and how he should do it and when he should do it. You know what he would like to have come from me? Is praise for who he is. And when I read this story, I say, Lord, I'd like to learn how to praise you without having to go through what he went through. He was sent to a class, a 7-year school that brought him down and made a change in him. But you know what? It was for the good. And I want to read what the change was. His input changed completely. Instead of, here's what I have been able to do, starting in 34, at the end of the days, was it days? A lot of days, 7 years before it ended. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven. My understanding returned to me. I blessed the Most High. Now look here, the output's coming. I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? You know, he's preaching quite a sermon right here of humility. It says, at the same time, my reason returned to me, for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned to me. You know, this is quite a story. For 7 years, somebody had to run the kingdom while he was eating grass like an ox. That's right. But you know, talking about what a mighty God we serve, he can make things move around whenever he wants to. What happened in this 34th verse to make this transition? At the end of the days, my understanding returned to me. You know what? He still had, what did it talk about? Like feathers. His fingernails had grown out like claws. The only thing that happened different right now is his understanding returned to him. Except that God went out also through his kingdom and caused his, my counselors, my lords, sought unto me. Can you imagine that? That only takes God to be able to do that. To bring a person up from where he was in humility. Now the schooling is finished and he's just right for it. And I was established in my kingdom and excellent majesty was added to me. Now here's the 37th verse. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. All whose works are truth, his ways judgment, those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. What I'm interested in with this is I would never go to the level he is, I don't believe. But you know, there are some places that it tells us, I'd like to look at one of them in Romans, that I think are important for the time that we're living in. Romans 12 and 3. I say through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Praise is when I realize who God is and I send praise up to him for it. That is decreased when I have an opinion, my opinion of myself, or my thoughts about how things can be. They will affect my praise. There's another verse in Psalms. Psalms 100 that is a reminder for me. I think why this is important today is we will each one go through some times where we look at the things that are happening even among the church today and we will say, why? Why should it happen? You know, what I want to be real careful about is even in adverse times, nothing has changed about God. He is still worthy of my praise. It's just that my thinking can get involved and it can cause me to become discouraged. This over in Psalms 100 and in the third verse is a good reminder for me. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. You know, I had nothing to do with my ability to think. You know what? God gave me that ability. And what he would like for me to do in these adverse times that we're living in is give that back to him. Lord, I can come up with a lot of conclusions about news, the things that are happening today. And I tell you, they can stir up something inside of me. And it can cause me not to walk away from there with praise coming out of my lips. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I control the input. I allow some things to come into my life that can affect the praise that comes out the other side. Praise is about who God is. And right at the very last of Psalms, when he closes Psalms up completely, he gives us another verse. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. That includes all of us. And it also, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. It's real easy for me to do it in the good times when everything is going well for me. That verse covers all times. There's another verse in Psalms 107. Psalms 107 and 8. Oh, that men, it's almost like a longing. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. You know, it is so easy for me to praise the Lord when everything is going good. You know, when the children of Israel were up against the Red Sea, looks like there's nothing that will help them out now. And God parted the Red Sea. And the next chapter was given to praising the Lord. It was called the Song of Moses. How long would you be able to retain that level of praise, remembering what God has done for you? How long did they? till the next trouble that came. You know, it's so easy for me to read the Bible and say, what were they thinking? Why didn't they just look back 3 days ago? We'd still be on the other side of the Red Sea facing the Egyptians if they hadn't killed us. Except that God opened it up and brought us through. And now we need water. And you know, that's a desperate situation to be in. Except that God just delivered them from water just a short time before to let them know, I can do anything for you. But there was something that happened with the children of Israel 3 days later when an adverse time comes. You know, this message can come close to home. I got lots of praise when things are going well. What about 3 days after the victory, or 3 years, or whenever? Can I still have the song of Moses still just ringing? Lord, I'm still telling you about it. I've got this little trouble I'll add in there. You remember where it says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I have that opportunity to tell him, Lord, I got a need here. But I don't ever want it to supersede thanksgiving and praise for who he is and what he has done. You know, it wasn't very many chapters. It wasn't any chapter. It was the same chapter that they had the song of Moses, that they were complaining about no water. And then I look at myself and I say, Lord, I need help from you. Because I'm a human processing information that comes to me and making predictions in my head of what the future holds. You know, those folks are going to have water. Very soon they're going to have water. But if they could just realize that's a very small one compared to what God has just done for me. Folks, throughout our life, God has done so many things for me, for us. When we hit difficult times, may I realize I have the opportunity to tell God just exactly how I would like for him to do it. But I don't want that telling to cause me to start murmuring and my input here goes down to where there's no praise coming out. I'm discouraged. I'm down. I control it. It's not in me really to be able to control it. But what I can do is go to the Lord and say, I want to give this area of my life to you. You are worthy to be praised. Jehoshaphat did it. He had a company of folks coming against him. There is no way they're going to come out of this one alive. And when it was told to them, and they go out to face the enemy, you know who they put in front? Singers. Now, I thought about that in my human. I don't think I could have carried a tune. You are in front of the fighting army, and they're putting the singers out front. And what were they singing? They were praising the beauty of holiness. That's a lesson for us. That I not just do it when the sun's shining. I got some praises for you, God. You just answered me. But let me learn a lesson from the children of Israel at the Red Sea. May I be able to remember your blessings farther down than that. There's a verse over in Isaiah. Isaiah 61 and the third verse. I want to just pick up one little area in here. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise. He's willing to do some swapping out with us. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know, there was something that caught God's attention in Jehoshaphat's time. I believe praise did it. There is something I believe that's going to attract God's attention for us in our times of adversity, and it's praise. And I was looking at a verse, you know, over in, I would like to know where God dwells, because I'd like to get up real close to that. You remember with the children of Israel, he said, build me a house. I want to be able to dwell with you. You know, I'd like to have my tent up as close as it was legal to be able to have it. I'd like to be close to where he dwelt. And then it tells us over in Isaiah 57 and 15, thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Here's where he dwells, out in eternity. Well, that can seem so far removed from where I am, except he didn't end there. Whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. That also is where God will dwell. None of self and all of thee. It's not just the problem that Nebuchadnezzar had, but may I come to the place that, Lord, I don't try to figure out what tomorrow holds, but let me spend my time knowing who holds tomorrow, and he'll walk with me through that. It's real easy for me to praise God when things are going well. May I be able to take that same level of praise, because he has not changed. Who he is has not changed. Remember, there was a time when David was running from Saul. You know, there's a verse that tells us, Proverbs 3 and 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. You know, when I lean to my own understanding, it's going to cause this output to go down. Because if David had leaned to his own understanding, he remembered the day that he was anointed to be king, and now he's been running for years. Talk about having no ability to praise. It could have been from him. But he says in Psalms 57, you know, when we look at the testimony of some things that come in adversity, you remember when he came back after a battle and he and his army come up to home, coming home, and they find out the enemy's already been there. Trouble is on right now. You know, it says they wept till they had no more power to weep. You know, that's a discouraging time. And then on top of that, there's something else that happens. His men start talking about stoning David. Did David give it all up? It says he encouraged himself. You know, I believe he realized God hasn't changed at all. He's still the same. You remember in just a little bit after he encouraged himself, he went back to the Lord and said, okay, now tell me, what do you want me to do? I believe that's valuable for us today. When we hit some adverse times, yeah, we may weep till there's no more power. But then let's get up and say, okay, Lord, where do we go from here? Because you have not changed at all. In 57 and 6 and 7, they have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. My heart is fixed. Well, that's a pretty good place to be. You know what? You can have an output of praise no matter what's happening in your life when your heart's fixed. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. So maybe praise is a choice that I make. He's willing to trade us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's quite a swap. There's a song that I saw just recently. It says, when you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams, your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes. You know, we can have things happen into our life that we realize, you know what, this is going to change it all. You feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears, but the song's not over. Don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. praise the Lord. He will work through those who praise him, praise the Lord. For our God inhabits praise. You know, we talked about, I'd like to be living close to where he dwells. It says he inhabiteth praise. I believe when he starts hearing praise from the heart, it's from down inside of me, and it's genuine. I believe he will be close by to walk with us through those times. Praise the Lord for the chains that seem to bind you. They'll serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you when you praise him. You know, it doesn't mean that the situation has changed at all, but our outlook has changed. The output, the potential that I have to praise who he is, no matter what is happening that I'm going through or any of us are going through. It seems like the battle is on for all of us around here. We hear the prayer requests that have been coming in, some serious requests for people. But you know what? In the middle of it, we can praise him. Hebrews 13 and 15. You know, I'd like to be able to give him a sacrifice. And this one says we can. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. You know what that means? In the good times and the bad times. It's a choice that I make. It's what I allow my thoughts to feed on. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Many times those strongholds are in my head. When I start looking and deciding what the future holds, when God knows that I can't see into the next minute, and I need to realize that myself. The sacrifice of praise continually, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. This is what's raising the output of praise back to him. It's not about what's happening in my life. It's about who he is. And I'm willing to go back to him. I'd like for us to sing a song in closing. It's Psalm 53. You know what? It's a song about choice. It says, let the gates of praise be open. It's a call to do it. But you know what? I can be in a condition where I don't do it. I am too bogged down with my thoughts of what all is happening. When our hearts, it talks about different kinds of conditions that we can be in. When our hearts are full of gladness. You know, none of us have a bit of trouble praising God when everything is going well. I don't. But then it also says, praise him when the heart is heavy. In all conditions that I be able to train myself, I continue. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. When the clouds above us hover, in all these conditions, God has not changed. My thinking may change. My thoughts about how the outcome of this is going to be may change, but he hasn't. What is the shortest book in the Bible? It's Psalms 117. And when I look at this little short place, I think about America. You know what? If America would change the input, God would bless America again. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us. The truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Well, should our country not do it, I'm still responsible for it. And what I need to do is I need to ask the Lord every once in a while to do an inventory. Search me, O God. Know my thoughts. My heart. You know, and then it goes on and see if there be any wicked way in me. So I say, okay, that must be for somebody else. But Lord, after you've searched my heart and you've searched my thoughts, the end of that is I'd like to for you to lead me in the way everlasting. So Lord, if my thoughts and my heart are in any way to where that could not happen, and the devil is the master of discouragement. He would love to discourage every one of us to where we see the dark side of the picture. But I would like for myself, and I think the message is for me, but for all of us, every one of us are going to have adversity come into our life. But may we realize, you know what, the ability to praise never changed. For this relay, 20 pounds stays on it all the time. 20 pounds can go out, and praise can be continually in my mouth. I decide what it will be, and I say, God help me.